He is Dr. Nadine Hadadin, who was an NHS doctor for 15 years and has been suspended for his posts on Twitter on the Gaza genocide. He's one of many, but we need to hear his story. Dr. Nadim, welcome to the Mother of All Talk Shows. Let's begin by hearing from you. What exactly happened to you?
Thanks for having me, George. And as you say, yeah, this is something that's happening to far too many people. So I've been a doctor in emergency and acute medicine for about 15 years for the NHS, with about 90% of that time spent working at the Royal Free Hospital in Northwest London. In fact, serving one of the best, you know, biggest Jewish communities in London, if not in the country. And I am of British Jordanian heritage. 90% of my family live in Jordan. And anybody who has family in Jordan, anybody who's born in Jordan, anybody from that part of the world has a very strong ingrained passion for the rights of the Palestinian people. And those feelings for those rights have been a very important part of me for as long as I can remember. They didn't appear in the last, you know, year and a half, you know, or certainly since October the 7th, the year before last. I arrived to work on the 14th of August last year, and I was doing my ward round as I would normally do. And I received an email from the responsible officer at the trust, which basically said, some concerns have been raised and you are suspended with immediate effect. There was no explanation as to what the concerns were, why I'd been suspended. But essentially I had to go around the department asking, you know, other colleagues, consultants, if they knew what I'd done wrong. And I think you would hear from anybody else in that situation. As a doctor, your first instinct is to think, who have you brought to harm? You know, has there been some medical case that the General Medical Council hasn't told you about, or it hasn't yet come to, you know, to fruition or come to light that you've harmed somebody? So I ended up sort of tootling home like a naughty schoolboy, feeling broken, for want of a better word. Having to call the GMC and say, have I done something that I don't know about? They didn't have anything on file. And then I was invited to what was described as an informal meeting the next day with the responsible officer and the head of HR, which to me was not very informal at all. And I was prepared for a 2 or 3 week formal investigation because of a complaint that had come through anonymously about posts about the conflict that were potentially upsetting. I wasn't allowed to see the posts. I couldn't confirm that it was my ex account. I wasn't privy to the specifics of the complaint. But despite being told I was going to go through a formal investigation that would potentially lead me to a GMC investigation or dismissal, I was encouraged to delete my posts, which I thought was weird, given that they were going to investigate me. And then when I contacted them to say, look, I've deleted the posts while I was waiting for more information on the investigation, they did a complete U-turn and said, well, you've deleted your account now, you can come back to work. Which I tried to do. I tried to return back to work for a couple of shifts, but just felt this utter sense of resentment towards an unknown colleague who might have reported me, or really this kind of lack of respect for the amount of time that I'd served there. So with all that in mind, certain things from that meeting were basically just ringing through my head constantly. The first was that the responsible officer suggested that as part of my investigation, I bring in an expert on the conflict to advise on what was acceptable. And I sort of sat there and said, are you asking me to provide a history lesson? Do you want me, I mean, should we stop this meeting now and we'll say, well, in 1948, or have you heard of the Nakba? Or do you understand that my family all live in Jordan? And not only is the impact going to be on the Palestinians, but very much potentially on my family. And beyond that, the trust has employed doctors. And I'm thinking of a specific doctor who has fled the conflict in Gaza. He was under siege at the Al-Shifa Hospital for 60 days. He had a one-month-old child who he had to flee Gaza with his wife. And I was asked to look after that doctor because I had an empathy, I had a knowledge of the history, I had a sense of compassion and a feeling for the culture and an understanding that coming and working in this environment was going to be difficult. And he'd been through a trauma and needed to be looked after with respect and TLC. And yet I found myself sitting in a room where somebody was saying that they had an investigative panel who thought that they could act as the morality police to sit in front of me and tell me what I could and couldn't think about a massacre. And, you know, George, as you alluded to earlier, we have these what I can only describe as Israeli lobbies within the United Kingdom who think that all they need to do is say that one of us has had an opinion, and that opinion could make somebody feel upset or uncomfortable. And therefore, that means that we're not safe to practice medicine. And I need to tell those people out there that they have no right to make gross judgments on the way that we practice medicine, the way we have a respect for our careers, and the fact that we are not going to condemn indiscriminate killing and then stoop to a level so low that we would mistreat patients for any reason. I can tell you when I'm in A&E and I'm seeing 30, 40 patients and they're coming in every 10 minutes, I'm not standing there and assessing what their views are on the world or what their name is or where they might come from. And I would hope they're not doing the same for me. I'm thinking, tonsillitis, what do I do? This person's in pain. How do I fix them? And that's my whole job. And there are thousands of patients that have passed my, you know, come past me in clinic or with an A&E or wherever, who we probably don't have matching morals or ethics or views on life, but it has nothing to do with our jobs. I've worked for 15 years. I haven't had a single complaint. And yet one anonymous complaint about some ex posts suddenly means I have to be removed from my job. That is a disgrace.
It's Kafkaesque, in fact. It's even worse than I thought the story was. Let me, as it were, unpick it a little. Posts were said by a single anonymous complainant, to have been upsetting. What kind of a bar does that establish? Any doctor can be the subject of a single anonymous complaint about anything. Do the NHS, does the Royal Free Hospital suspend doctors and threaten them with potential dismissal on single anonymous complaints on any other matter?
So there's two things that I think are really important to say here. When the conflict was happening, or the invasion of Russia into Ukraine was happening, we all had our faces in Ukrainian flags on Facebook and X. We were wearing pins. We all had a sense that we had the same moral, ethical code of humanity, and we could say what we wanted. And nobody was calling us into offices saying, you might upset Russian patients. Nobody was saying that. Beyond that, hospitals are places of care, right? If you're a mechanic and you're fixing a car, when something goes wrong, the car breaks down. For us, human beings come to harm. And I know of many adverse clinical outcomes that have happened at the, you know, in within A&E, within medicine, within the Royal Free, some of them very, very public, serious clinical incidents. Did they lead to suspensions of medical staff? No. And in fact, when I did a Freedom of Information request at the Royal Free about suspensions of doctors in the last 5 years, I was one of only two doctors to be suspended for anything. So there is something about this topic which means that it trumps everything. It even trumps your medical practice. And what's interesting is that when I went back to the Royal Free and said, I'm taking you to an employment tribunal because I believe I've been discriminated against, and I can go into that a little bit further, I need an unredacted version of that complaint against me. It was such a strong defense as to why, you know, their lawyer came back and said, well, if we do that, Nadim could go out and harm them, that it makes me wonder who the NHS are protecting.
Wow. So where does this case lie now? What are you doing now about it?
So a very key piece of information sort of came across my desk, which was that a white British colleague contacted me to say that 6 weeks or so before I was suspended, he was dealt a legal paper by the Royal Free to say that a post he'd made about the conflict had been complained about, and that he was to sign a legal document to say that he would delete his posts and he would never post about the conflict again. Now, that complaint had come from a local Jewish GP, and then he'd also received a complaint from UK Lawyers for Israel. His concern was that, to the responsible officer, I'd never met her in my life before. I was just Nadim, Dr. Nadim Hadadin Crow. I was, as an Arab with an Arab name, removed from work, threatened with suspension, whereas he was dealt much less severely. A piece of paper, sign this and say you'll never do it again. Both of which, by the way, I find phenomenally disgusting. Beyond that, there was no element of employment law or policy that was followed here. You know, there was, the informal meeting was not informal. I wasn't served a policy on how this, you know, disciplinary procedure was going to go. It was all just, it felt made up as you know, they went along. I filed a formal grievance on September the 1st. We're now on the 19th of February. They never answered the grievance. I filed for an employment tribunal and gave them the full month to go via early conciliation with ACAS. They ignored ACAS. And we are now, you know, the 19th of February, and I'm now working with Lead A solicitors to take the Royal Free to an employment tribunal with our preliminary hearing in April on the basis that they'd followed no policy. And my feeling is that this is discrimination of a British Arab doctor who has the absolute right to care about my family, to care about the world and humanity. And I have no interest in operating at a lower moral standard to fit into the desires of the few or the NHS. And I felt that it was important that I put a face to my name for the very reason that all of these lobbies, they prey on fear. They love to dox people. They want people to think that they can ruin our lives, but they can't. And the reason that they want to take down doctors is that we're held as these people with a higher moral standing. They want to use that against us, as in, how do these people of moral standing, how can they not see it our way? What they need to understand is that we are people with higher moral standing. We have good levels of intelligence and awareness. And because of that, our opinions are a threat to them, and they want to take us down. Our opinions have weight, and they don't want those opinions that have that weight in the public sphere.
Well, the whole audience will be completely behind you. Is there anything that the public can do to support you in this quest?
We are running something called a crowd justice page, where we're raising money to fund the legal case. The Royal Free is a, you know, a government-funded organization that will have hundreds of thousands of pounds that it'll be absolutely prepared to waste on an employment tribunal rather than just taking this on the chin. If people want the support, if they could go to the Crowd Justice website and search my name, Dr. Nadim Crow, C-R-O-W-E, or go to my Instagram handle or my X handle, they'll be able to support the Crowd Justice page. Even if you pledge a pound and leave a comment, it just shows that people are on our side. And don't, the NHS has, it can't afford to lose doctors. I've moved into the private world now, having, you know, worked for years, loved working for the NHS, because NHS England went as far as defending what had happened to me, you know, defending the Royal Free. I've got more self-respect than to go back to them as an employer. So we need your support, both financially and also so that the NHS understands that you are there standing for us. And that, in fact, you do know that we're safe. And the reason that we're speaking for Gaza is that we care about people. We care about life. And that has absolutely no bearing on the way that we practice medicine or treat patients. We believe everybody deserves free, fair and high standard healthcare. And you know, these vexatious accusations are just that. They're bullying and they're harassment and no more.